Well, everybody, come on in. Time for church to start. It's good to see you tonight. Happy Wednesday. I'm glad you are here. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you look spectacular tonight. Let them know. Let them know. And live streamers, I can't see you, but I bet you look spectacular too. But it's good to have you tonight. Again, happy Wednesday. I got some announcements for you real quick. And then we will jump into worship, which is why we're here. Don't forget, sign-ups. Everybody listen, sign-ups for bowling. They're actually signing up by lane, so make sure you do that. That's September 13th, 7 to 9, our yearly night out bowling. Don't forget to sign up for help for the yearly hoopla parade that we're involved in this year here in town in Urbana. There's a sign-up part for making the float. Then for those that want to walk actually on the day of the parade and give out church invites and all that kind of stuff, that's back there. Also, don't forget, Kelly's back there. Can you throw up the church on mission slide for me real quick? I talked about this last Sunday. Let me remind you about it. Sunday morning, I'm starting a series entitled Church on Mission, and we're going to be going through the book of Acts in the month of September. But I'd love for you to go along with me because I'm going to be hitting some different parts of the book of Acts, but I'd like you guys to read the book of Acts through the month of September as we teach out of the book of Acts in the month of September. So for this Sunday, to be on board with what's happening, that you would have read Acts chapters 1 through 7. By Sunday morning, and then I'm going to preach out of Acts chapter 1 through 7 this Sunday, then obviously on through the rest of the month. So don't forget about that. Jump on board with that. And, of course, the guys, we're finishing up this week our month reading of the book of Proverbs, and we're going to get together Saturday morning, September the 21st, to kind of talk about it for those of you guys can make that day. So we'll give you more details about that. So lots of stuff going on. I'm excited about it. I'm glad you're here. But how about we stand up tonight? And let's worship Jesus together.
We have every confidence that He is faithful. Yes, our testimony is the living proof. And if you doubt the evidence, He is able. Seek your work with a handful of faith. Doesn't matter.
Well, that God's way. Just raise your hand. I have. His way is so much better. His way leaves us full, overflowing, not empty. Praise God that He saved us. I'm so thankful because I lived my own way and it was so broken. He makes us whole. Only He can do that. Praise God.
All right, how about once again from our hearts, let's commit ourselves to Him. Lord, we thank You that You are our God, and we are the people of Your pasture. You're the great shepherd who leads us and guides us and protects us, and You show us the way, and Your way is the best way. Your way is the only way of true life and abundant life. And right here, right now, Lord, once again, we commit our hearts to You. We commit our minds to You. We commit our strength to You. Every part of who we are, even the things we once had tried to hold back, we commit to You. For Your will and to Your ways, Lord, to Your glory. Not to live our own understanding and our own wisdom, but by Your understanding, by Your wisdom. The wisdom You grant so freely to us. We thank You for that. And I pray each one of us learns to live in step with the Spirit. Being led in our everyday lives, our decisions, our actions, our reactions, all of who we are. That we are people who are of You in all things, and in all things that we glorify You. We thank You for that. Lord, for some of us here that have been, there have been certain things we've been holding back, holding on to. We let those go. We give it over. For the full work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen, amen. All right. Well, you can go say hi to a couple people. Kids' church is checked in. Youth hangout's happening tonight with Eric and Justice. So if you don't know what that is, just follow this guy right here. And then we will be rolling with tithe and offering in just a minute. For live streamers, bear with us through our time of check-in. We'll be with you in just a moment. My goodness. Amen. Well, we'll wait for everybody to get checked in and get back up after getting their kids down to kids' church. A couple things while they're doing that. Don't forget that September the 8th, right after church, we're having sort of a vision casting Sunday. If this is your family of faith, and I'm assuming Wednesday nighters are the family of faith like people because you come for the extra. Come for the, it's like you get it on Sunday, but you just got to get it again. Amen. So you're here Wednesday night. We're going to be casting some vision. I'm going to let you know a couple financial things, kind of let you know some things coming up concerning the rest of the year, some goals that we have as a church, some things that I want you to pray about. All right. So that's a week from Sunday. And we'll just stay for an extra maybe 30, 40, 45 minutes after church is over so I can talk to you for a few moments. And then I believe we're going somewhere. Amen. We're not a church just wandering around aimlessly hoping God does something. But we're a church on mission, and that's what we're about. So we're going to talk more about that on September the 8th. So if you're prepping your tithe and offering, those are envelopes, as always, they're in the chairs in front of you. If you don't see one there, vigorously wave your hand around, and one of the ushers will see you flailing about. I'm kidding. Just wave your hand around, and they'll help you out. All right? And we'll get to pray over your offering in just a moment. It's been 90-some degrees, and I'm done. How many of you are ready for fall? Even you summer lovers have got to be over it. No, not yet, Kathy. I still like you, but... Huh? Oh, but fall and no winter. Okay. Now, this is, by the way, Margo's doing kids' church tonight, so you can pray for her soul. But she's doing fill-in tonight for kids' church. So come September 1st, which is Sunday, begins our yearly argument. Because on the calendar, the first day of fall is officially what? 22nd of September. To me, the official first day of fall is September 1st. So she argues with me about it because she likes summer. I'm just like, give it up. It's over. It's September 1st. Put the fall decorations out. Summer's done. That's just my attitude. So she argues with me about it. But like, football starting this weekend, I mean, it's just fall. Come on. If you go outside and look at the tree out there, it's turning yellow already. We're in it. So anyways, let me pray over your tithe and offering. If you have something tonight, you can bring it down. Lord, I thank you. We can give tonight that we can give. We thank you for increase. We thank you, Lord, for that. We want to honor you with the blessing of our life, Lord. And for those that may be struggling in this season of time, that your blessing is with them, and Lord, that they know that you're always providing. You're going to make a way, and I thank you for that. You will never leave us without this day our daily bread. We thank you for that. But as we give, it's an honoring of all the blessings and faithfulness of you in our life. So we give with hope and expectation and the cheerfulness of our heart. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. You can bring it. And what we have going tonight is we started a series last week in Hebrews chapter 11 on faith. We're continuing that tonight. But I'm sitting down. I asked Judah if he'd give the word tonight. How about that? So come on up, Judah. Let's give Judah a hand as he comes tonight.
Amen. Can you hear me?
No?
Good? I'll yell louder. We got no problem with it. All right, let me pray real quick. Heavenly Father, I pray that everything that you want said will be said tonight, God. I pray that I will be a mouthpiece. God, you use us as mouthpieces You use us as vessels. You've made it really clear in the word that you are the potter and we are the clay. We are the ones that are made by your hand. We are the ones from the beginning that were formed in your image, that you said they're going to look like me. They're going to act like me. They're going to have my characteristic. They're not going to have the characteristic of the devil. They're not going to have the characteristic of angels. They're not going to be loved like angels because they aren't loved. We are going to be loved like the children that we are. From the beginning, that's who we are. You use us. I'm grateful to be used. Lord, I have no problem being used. In fact, if I wasn't going to be used by you, what else would I be here for? So I pray that you put our hearts in the right place, that you keep my mouth on track with what you have to say, and you let us love to be used by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, I want to let you guys know, I was out Wednesday and Sunday. I missed you guys. I really did. I was like, and it was funny because I was with my brother. We were hiking in, we hiked in Colorado and then Arizona. He's actually from Utah, or he lives in Utah. He's from here. And the first thing I said when I went out there, I was like, hey, we're going to hike Thursday. We're going to drive all day Friday. Saturday, we're going to hike Arizona. And we have got to be up. He lives near Salt Lake, a little town called Tooele. We have got to be in Tooele Saturday night at best, or at worst, early Sunday morning, because we are going to church. Yeah. We are going to your church, you know what I mean? And it was a big deal to get there, and it was partly because, obviously, I didn't want to miss church, but I missed you guys, and I'm like, I need some church family. Yeah. I was with him. He's my family, right? But I need some church family. And praise God, we made it in time, and it was really good message. They do three services out there. It's a kind of a place this size, so it's not real big, but they do three, and he said, hey, I'm preaching on Sunday. He doesn't normally, he's more of a kind of a teacher than a preacher. He said, I'm preaching on Sunday. I said, you got to preach three services, like, in a row? I was like, you guys need to alternate or something, because I'm not, you know, it's from, like, what, 8 in the morning until, like, noon. They're going, and I was like, well, you better prepare for that. I hope you're ready for that, man. So, but it was good, but I want to let you guys know, I missed you a lot. You know, whenever you go to another church, you usually compare, or at least I do, you usually compare it to, like, your church. You're like, oh, yeah, we do that pretty well, you know, or we do that. Or, oh, nobody hugged me when I came in this place. Like, we hug each other, you know what I mean? And I miss stuff like that. I really did. But I love you. I want you to know that. I love you.
We love you.
We're here together. I'm here to put my faith in action with you. God's called us here. Years ago, when Samara and I were, and this is, I'm sorry, I'll get to the faith part, but Samara and I were never a member. We were never members of another church, even though she grew up in church, and I was in church a lot growing up too, and loved a lot of places, but we just never felt the call to be members. And then years ago, we used to do Membership Sunday. Any of you remember Membership Sundays, right? Once a quarter, I think it was. If you want to be a member, you know what I mean? We haven't done it for a while, but just come up and tell the Lord, you know, and we're going to pray over you. And that was it. You're a member now, you know. And I remember she was in kids' church in the first building we were in, which is another room. And I was out in the sanctuary area. And Daniel at the time did the membership Sunday. And he said, and I was sitting there. And we had a little speaker in the kids' room. You guys remember that? Where you could hear the service going on. And we hadn't talked about it. I didn't even know it was membership Sunday. And I came in and he said, he gave the invitation to become members, and all of a sudden, I stood up, and I was like, I better go get her so we can become, and I didn't have to. She came out of the back, and automatically, there she'd come, and it was because the Lord had said, this is home. This is where you're going to stay. Until he calls us elsewhere, this is where we are, and I want to let you know, you are here because this is home. If you felt it in your heart, like, this is where I'm supposed to be, then be here, because there's not a better place for you if this is where he has you. Amen?
Amen.
I put my faith in that. Amen. All right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Wrong page. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that's, to me, I read over that. I read over it and read over it and thought, this is an easy thing. I believe that the worlds were made by God. My faith is involved when I say we're here because God made this world. And so the question kept dawning on me, has he framed your world? This is the world we live in, right? We understand that all things were made by him and for him, and we get that through faith. But I'm not asking about this world we live in. I'm not asking about the ground we walk on. I'm asking about your world, where you function every day, where you wake up and you walk throughout the day making, you know, thousands of decisions a day, and say, is that world being framed by him? Because if it's not, dare I say, you're not using faith. See, faith, the word here is in the New King James is understanding, which means we understand something about him. I want you to know that this faith is different than just belief. Okay, we have to believe. We must believe. And faith is born out of belief, right? First, we have to believe, and then we put our faith in action. So, and then we call that works, right? I'll go into that just a little bit here, but our faith proves our belief in God. Because anybody can say, I believe in God. And if belief was enough alone, every sinner that you know out there that says, I say my prayers at night and I believe in God, but they haven't given their heart to the Lord, they would all go to heaven. But we know there's going to be those who believe in God, plenty that believe in God, but they're not going to make it because they never put their faith in God. James says it, James, you don't have to turn there. James 1:19, even the demons believe. Obviously, they're not saved. They weren't redeemed by the blood of Christ. They have no redemption. They have no, even though they believe, I believe they still believe, like the enemy, that they're going to win. Because the word says there's no truth in him. Right? The truth is, he's going to lose. The truth is, he's actually already lost. He's already been defeated. And we know that knowing being the word genosko in the Greek, meaning we know experientially, just like Adam knew his wife, we know he's already lost. But the devil doesn't believe that. He can't, because that's truth. And there's no truth in him. So even the demons believe, and they're not saved. Believing in God, that he exists, it's not enough. You have to put faith in God. And what is faith? Okay, so what's the difference, right? I believe in my mind. The word says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you'll be saved. But there's action in there. Does everybody catch it? The action, you confess with your mouth. And that belief is actually an action in faith. I believe fully that faith is an action, and it's carried out a lot of times through works. So you're just like, well, what about the thief on the cross, right? He didn't do anything for God. He didn't have any works. But what did he do? He did exactly what Romans says to do to be saved. He looked at the other thief on the cross on the other side, and he said, you and I, we both deserve to be here for the things that we've done. We deserve this punishment that we have, but this man has done nothing wrong. He confessed, right? And then he believed, and then he asked. He said, Lord, remember me today when you go into your kingdom. And so even though it was the tiniest bit of faith, openly declared as works, that's what he did. And that's what we must do. How many people, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many people know someone, or maybe a lot of someones, I've ministered to people who maybe came to church at one point or another, or maybe said the sinner's prayer or whatnot, and like ever since then, they've just lived for themselves. And you say, man, I know they believe. They said they believe. They had this experience where they essentially cried out to the Lord. And I'm not saying they're not saved, but I'm saying, where is their faith? Where is that forming of your world by what you believe? Right? By faith, we understand that he formed the worlds. And by faith, we understand and believe that he forms our world and everything in it. Don't you know the word says to gain your life, you must lose it. And that takes faith. If you desire to save your own life, you're going to lose that life. But if you lose it for my name's sake, you will save it. And that takes faith, because I've never seen with my eyes you know, God the Father. I didn't see when Jesus died on the cross. I believe it and I live it by faith. And the word and hope, and the word says, hope maketh not ashamed. Right? We are gonna experience, that's the good part. We are gonna experience what he has for us. This faith that we keep talking about, and we're putting our belief and our time into. Everybody knows there's a cost. Right? There's a cost of discipleship. There's a cost to this faith. Everything was paid for by God, right? But by Christ on the cross. We get that. But faith means we do things we wouldn't normally do. We put ourselves out there, right? Sometimes we say things we wouldn't normally say. Sometimes we stick ourselves in a spot that we would just never be. I'll give you one short example, and this is all God. I'm going to get to how it's really all God, right, that does this. I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years ago. It might have been longer than that because I don't think we were married, so I guess it was longer than that. A friend of mine, we used to go to the Oregon District in Dayton. At midnight on Friday, from midnight to 3 a.m., we used to do this thing that we called the third watch. And, you know, we were highly spiritualized at the time, and we're going to go around on the streets, and, you know, we'd pray for prostitutes, and we'd try to minister to drunk people all the time, you know, and just try to spread the word of God at the hour where things were the darkest. And it was awesome. You know, I was like 19 years old. I had no fear, didn't care. And so we're walking down third street or fifth street. One of them's really, it's like a nothing but bars, right? Shops, bars, very busy during that time. People, crowds on the street and stuff. And we're walking. I got Bible in hand. He's probably got Bible in hand. And we're walking behind this group of guys. And they're hollering at a group of guys across the street, you know. We're watching this play out, not saying anything. And all of a sudden, these group of guys decided they're going to go over to that group of guys. You know what I mean? They're arguing, they're fighting, they're cussing at each other. You know, this is about to be a fight. And they decided, we're just not going to stay over here. We're going to go over there. So here they go. We watched them. They took off, and I grabbed him. His name is Kevin, and I grabbed him by the shoulder. I said, come on. And we we took walking across the street. And I'm telling you, to this day, I don't remember making the decision to do that. I don't remember deciding, well, we're just going to go over here too. I remember just almost watching my feet in action just go. And I'm fully convinced that was the Holy Spirit that was moving us into this situation. And I'll tell you why. Ended up, so we got over there. We're probably 10 feet behind them or so. And as these group of guys are coming over to meet these group of guys, they were all converging in a little alley there, kind of next to where they were at. And it wasn't just 5 guys, 10 guys. It was like 50 people had been watching this, and they were all. So by the time we got over there, there was a circle, right? These two guys were squared up in the middle of this circle, and we didn't stop. We just kept right on walking, right into the middle of that circle. It's 1 a.m. It's in the Oregon District, which is not a great place to be. We're you know, just young teenagers. We're out there trying to save people, out there trying to preach the gospel to people, out there trying to figure out what faith is and put our faith into action. And we walked into the middle of that circle, and I stood between those two young men, and I held the Bible out. And I said something, I don't even remember what I said. I said something like, you two aren't enemies, you know? We aren't enemies. We have an enemy, and the devil is the enemy. And come and serve God, you know, or some gave some sort of invitation, right? And they just looked, they stopped looking at each other and looked at us. And I don't know what they thought, but then all of a sudden, some little tiny young girl, she was grown, but she's very young, she come out and she said, what are they doing in here with the Bible? You know what I mean? And she's like, get that out of here and all that. And all of a sudden, nobody was interested in this fight anymore. All of a sudden, this thing that was getting ready to happen, and I don't know what was getting ready to happen. It was definitely somebody was going to, you know, have a throwdown. It didn't happen. They just dispersed. And we stood there and we watched them all, and we're, you know, like, standing there, is anybody going to get saved tonight? You know, we don't know. But we're still here. We stood there, and all of a sudden, there was nobody there. Except me and Kevin. And I said that because
I believe, I don't just believe it, I know it, because the Bible says faith is from God. I know Romans 10:17. I know that by the, like Pastor Kylan mentioned, I think last Wednesday, by the hearing of the word comes faith. I understand that. But what's Ephesians say? Ephesians 2 says we're saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves. Amen. It's a gift of God. Faith is born in you because God has birthed it in you. You make the choice. You have a choice to believe in faith or not. Absolutely. That's why God is innocent of ever sending anyone to hell, because they made their own choice. But the faculty to believe in faith comes from God. And it's a gift, because he doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to put that on us or give it to us. Sorry. Let your works back up your faith. You believe in your heart, praise God, but where is your faith? These are some things that I was writing down. Where is the action to prove your faith? I said it earlier. Faith proves your belief. Works prove your faith. James says it like this. He's like, you show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Meaning, I'm not just going to say what I believe. I'm not just going to talk. I'm going to actually do. And what's the word say? Blessed are those who are found doing when the master returns. And he's coming back. And we need to be found doing. Don't you know that that same faith you were saved by, the same faith that allowed you to believe in God, is the same faith that works through you to heal yourself and your neighbor by the power of God, by the blood of Christ. Those same words that you speak, the same power that runs through you, is the same thing that's going to be used to heal the nations. Amen. The same words that we speak convict hearts. For that word is like a two-edged sword, and it pierces between soul and spirit. It divides bone and marrow. It's so sharp, and it's all by faith. I live this life because I believe in a God who is greater than me. I have, thankfully, praise God, I have experience that I was here in the depths of Sheol, as the word says, and he reached down and he picked me up out of it. He came and said, no more will you be there. I've got a calling for you. I've got a place for you. I got more than what you can imagine that you've got to walk into. And until you do, you'll keep walking through all the hardship that you're walking through. But you don't have to keep going through it, because I'm here. I've delivered you. I've given you what you need to be successful in this kingdom. Not only that, I look down on you and I love you. Yes. He loves us with everything he's got, which if we only knew, right? I was thinking about that. I was on the plane. I was flying to Colorado there. And, you know, of course, any of you ever been on a plane, things down here look really small. And it's like, I was like, Lord, you know, I started thinking about the Psalms, like, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? And I was like, you loving me would be like me loving an ant. You know what I mean? Because I'm thinking, I can't even see anybody down here. Like, what makes you love us so much? I wouldn't pick up an ant and be like, oh, I love you so much. You know, to me, that doesn't make sense. But that's how he works, isn't it? Isn't that exactly? He didn't just say, I'm going to love them even though they're really small and beneath me. He said, I'm not only going to love them, I'm going to die for them. And he knew this the entire time, right? He said, I'm going to give them the power to believe so that they can be with me forever and ever. And that's what we call faith. Out of that must be born works in the kingdom. Understand? We're saved by grace. Praise God. We didn't do anything to get that. Through faith. And that is the gift of God. James goes as far as to say, without faith, works is dead. Confession is the action. And our faith is from belief. So we go back to Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that he formed the worlds. Like I said earlier, that word understand means, if you know you're a Strong's people, I know some of you are Strong's Concordance people. That word is genosko. It means the faculty of perceiving divine things, or the power to understand. The power to understand. That's why I believe that faith absolutely comes from God. This scripture proves it. Many scriptures prove it. The power to believe in God comes from God, and he gives it to us. Amen. He said, I'm going to read a few scriptures. You don't have to turn there because I want to do them quickly. But John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father, this is Jesus, right, who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Romans 9:16, talking about Jacob and Esau, said, so then it is not, the promise is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Lastly, we talked about Ephesians 2:8. Well, for by grace we are saved, or you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. I do want you to turn to this one, Romans 8:6. I want you to understand that faith is great. It's great to have faith, but we need to understand that without God deciding to allow us to believe, we would have had no hope. If I had to keep reading there in Ephesians after Paul says, we're saved by grace through faith, he would even go on to say, you had no hope in the world. As Gentiles, you didn't have any hope. You were strangers from the commonwealth of Israel. You were aliens to all their promises. Because remember, promises of eternal life and promise of forgiveness of sin was given to the children of God, which were the seed of Abraham, which were the Israelites. So before that, before Christ, we had no hope. Living with no hope in the world, but praise God, now we've been brought near by his blood. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So to understand that you didn't create your own faith. You didn't decide one day to believe in God. God gave you the gift of faith. It says it right. I'm not talking about the spiritual gift of faith in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the power to believe. He gave that to you. And why would he do that? Because he loves you. The word says to be carnally minded, or to be worldly minded, to live in this world without God. The mind we had before we met Christ, the spiritual mind, is death. And it is not subject, or it doesn't subject itself. It doesn't submit to the law of God, meaning the love your neighbor and love God with all your heart. And neither indeed can it be. It cannot. It cannot. The carnal mind cannot believe in God. Only because God gifts us with faith can we believe in him. Man, that's everything to me. Doesn't that make you think, oh, praise God, I could have just been wandering around out there still, you know, doing whatever I was doing before. I'm telling you, I've backslid on the Lord before. After I got saved, you know, I kind of went back into some, not immediately, but maybe a couple years later, just the draw of the world kind of got me back. And you know what? I'd sit out there. I would literally sit out there. I think I've told the testimony before where I was sitting in a room, a dark room, all by myself in my friend's kitchen at 19 years old, just me. And I had known the Lord. I experienced Christ, got filled with the Holy Ghost the second day that I was saved. Amen. And I was sitting there in the kitchen. Everybody was in bed. Everybody's drunk, gone, hot, whatever. They'd moved on, and I'm sitting there by myself. I thought, what am I doing? I serve a creator that is so great, or I was serving him, and now, and this is not to come down on anyone, but I thought, and now I'm just like everybody else. That's the feeling I got. I'm just like everybody else who doesn't have the promise of eternal salvation living in them, who hasn't been saved, who hasn't experienced a supernatural Holy Spirit, who hasn't experienced a supernatural loving God with such a fierce love for me that he would send his own son to die and take my place because I couldn't do it myself. Yes. Now I'm just like everybody else. And I'm telling you, that made me feel so excluded from the kingdom. And he wasn't saying that. He was saying, come back. Come on back. It was God himself putting that feeling upon me. I'm telling you, church, we're like caged birds that can't get away from God. Praise him that you will never escape him, even if you try. Right? Think about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, he said, you know what? You're going to be brought low, and you're going to wander for like 7 years, right? Out in the fields, you're going to eat the grass of the field. Your hair and your fingernails and whatnot are going to grow long like an animal, but then I'll restore you, right? Isn't it crazy that he could have just been like, the God of Daniel is, I'm just going to go ahead and serve that God because he had everything, but he didn't do that. He still went through what he went through. And sometimes we do that, but praise God, he gives us faith that doesn't end. I'm telling you, if you know somebody who's had a real experience with Christ, who's really grabbed onto this faith, who's really gotten sunken in, I'll say it, in the word, and they're doing this, they're backsliding, give them the love they need, but grab them by the shoulder and drag them back in, okay? I'm talking about kind of a tougher kind of love, not one that necessarily leaves them out there. The word says, and this is coming to me now, what is it, Numbers, somewhere in Numbers, 30-something? The children of Gad, this is a little bit off subject, but the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, I believe, the word says they had a lot of cattle. They were getting ready to cross into the promised land to go over to the Jordan before Moses died. And they said, hey, we got a lot of cattle. This part east of the Jordan is really good for cattle. Can we just stay here instead of going into the promised land? Can we just stay here, us tribes, you know what I mean? And Moses said, if you stay here, you will be sinning against the Lord. He said, what, will all of your brothers go into war and you just sit here? I'm telling you, it's not the time to just sit here while our brothers and sisters are trying to battle a war. There's so many people right now, and you know them. Some of them are from here, and they're going into war, and they're not prepared because their heart is not in the right place. And if yours is, and your faith is strong, then don't just sit here while your brothers are in war. Grab them and bring them along, because I'm praising God somebody did that. For me, if they wouldn't have, I may still be there. If somebody would have just said, like James, he says, your faith without works is dead. He said, if your friends, your brothers come to you and say, I'm cold and hungry. And you say, well, I'll pray that you're warm and full. Now go. You've done nothing for them. I'm not saying prayer does nothing. I'm saying what James said. He said, if it's within your hand to do good, then do it. Put your faith into action. All of you have been given grace. I have been given grace. If it wasn't for that grace, I wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have eternal salvation. And some people have forgotten about the grace that we've been given. And they need us. Reach out. Reach out to people like that. Children, friends, families. Okay? Side note. Steward it well, right? Faith is a gift. Steward it well. Lastly, have no doubt. It's been on me. The word says in James, right, that any man who thinks he has doubt will not receive anything from God, right? Praying in doubt, we won't get anything. And so we ask, well, how do I pray in faith? You know, how do I do this? We believe every time. Lori, I believe every time that I ask forgiveness for my sins, they're forgiven, right? Amen. Even when my sin was evident and strong, and I didn't always feel like I had been forgiven, like, right, you know, you sin, and praise God, the word says, seek him while he is near, while he may be found. So if we come back quickly, sometimes I hadn't punished myself quite enough, you know, and we do that. So even though I didn't feel like I had been forgiven, I believed that I had, because if I hadn't, he would be a liar, right? So it's a gift, and we have to pray with no doubt. And this came to me the other day. Sawyer, come here, please. All right. This is what I mean by no doubt. okay? Sawyer's in cross country. Sawyer ran 11 minutes and something for 2 miles. Got 10th place out of 371 boys the other day. Last time I had a foot race with Sawyer, I smoked him. I beat him. And I'm telling you, I'll do it again. Now, I have the faith 100% that I'll beat this young man if I race him again. You don't have to raise your hand to hurt my feelings, but do any of you have the same faith that I have, or is there a little doubt in there? You don't mind raising? Oh. It's all right. Amen. Amen. All right. Good job. Go sit down. Now, he's not up here. But this is how real our faith must be, having no doubt. He's not up here. But if he was, I was going to bring Rhett up here. Little Rhett.
Little Rhett.
And say the same thing. Now, would any of you have any doubt at all? Unless it's like a David and Goliath situation, right? And you can take that if you want. But there would be no doubt in your mind, in your heart. If you had money to lay on that, you'd lay it all. You'd say, well, I'll give you everything on this bet, right? Because Rhett's tiny and he hasn't proven himself. Now, Sawyer might beat me, but I'm going to have 100% faith that I will beat him. But there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that I could beat Rhett. Right? Unless he pulls a dad, and as soon as I get going, he trips me, right? He's learned well. No. Now, these kids don't understand what we have to lose when we race them. Like, you beat me. That's why I might not ever race him again, just because the only time I race him, I beat him. So, you know, so I can, anyway. The word says that someone with doubt is like a wave, right? Tossed to and fro. It's just back and forth. It doesn't have any place to settle. It doesn't have any sure point of reference. It doesn't have any foundation. It has nothing to stand on. It has nothing to grow on. There's nothing that can make it be one way or another. It just goes with the flow, no pun intended. It just goes wherever the wind carries it. And I'm telling you, if we are people of faith who just go where the wind carries us, then we are not people of faith. We are people who are blown about by every circumstance and everything in life that comes against us. And when it does, we find out who we really are. I'm telling you, the trial and tribulation that James talks about is to reveal who you are in Christ and to make you more like him. That's why the formula says, count it exceedingly joyful when you go through these trials and tribulations, because they work patience in you. And when patience has its perfect work, you are perfect and entire and what? Lacking nothing. Then you don't lack any faith. You don't lack anything in the kingdom. Don't be like the wave, right? The wave is like the person. And the wind is like the things of the earth tossed around. We put our faith into action and works when little things come against us. Pain comes against us. Financial trouble comes against us, right? Lord's our provider. Lord's our healer. Lord is the lifter of our head. The Lord is the one who takes us through the storm. The Lord is the one who puts us into the battle. And then, like we sang, then he wins the battle. He comes through and does it for us. Now we can believe absolutely in him, putting our faith in the one who's never failed. In a race against Sawyer, I've never failed. Put your faith in me. I'll beat him again. Yeah, I don't know. He's pretty fast now. I'll definitely beat Rhett, though. I'll definitely beat Rhett. But anyway, that's, you know, you can come up with your own little scenario. That was what it was for me. And I'm like, man, I just wouldn't have any problem putting everything I have into believing I, or basically any adult, could beat this child. You know what I mean? And that's how real it must be with God. God, I just, like, I have no doubt. And it doesn't matter what's happened before. It doesn't matter what hasn't happened before. It doesn't matter what you've been taught about people saying, oh, this Maybe it's the will of God that they don't get healed this time. Or maybe you're praying out, baloney. He took stripes for our healing, did he not? He took stripes upon his back just so we can be healed. So why wouldn't I have the faith to believe that's what he wants? Amen? I'm telling you, church, if we have no doubt, if we can get to that place where we let our faith be built, even so much as believing everything, he formed the worlds. By faith we believe it. It says it right here. If we can believe that, we can certainly believe through the power of Christ, we can take away your headache. All right? We can heal that inner thing by the blood of Christ, by his name, because it's available as long as we use real faith. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you because you are the one who gives us the gift of faith, Lord, the power to believe, grace. Hallelujah, your grace. And your grace is greater on some than others because some had more sin. I thank you that you set it up that way, that you didn't say, well, if they're going to sin more, I'm just going to let them go and they have to come back a little closer for me to give them more grace. No, you said where sin is more heavy and more abundant, I'll pour out more grace upon them. And that's what it took for some of us. It took that high amount of grace. And then you said, come and believe. And now we do, and we're saved. Hallelujah. I pray that you let us put our faith in action every day. Let our works prove the faith we have. And let people see the faith we have and say, I want that kind of faith. How do I get that kind of faith? You have to follow Christ. You have to follow Jesus. It's not us. Let not people say, oh, if we just acted more like this person, this Christian or that person. All right, Lord, let them act like us until they get in here and then let them realize it's about you. We're only doing this because we're acting like you. Grow our faith. Teach us faith. Put it upon us in a real way so that we can be ministers to your church. We can bring about the coming of the Son of Man because we want to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Well, yep. All right, I'm done.
All right, amen. Thanks, Judah. Yeah. Having said that, love on some people. Have a good Labor Day weekend. See you at church Sunday. By the way, I know it's Labor Day weekend. We still have church, just so you know that. All right, we'll be here at 10 o'clock on Sunday. But be blessed as you go tonight. Invite somebody out with you. But love on somebody as you head out. If you want prayer tonight, come on down. We'd love to pray with you. But other than that, we'll see you Sunday morning.